Blog Talk Radio.
Don't Give Up Radio Show with Jackie Wayans. Inspiration through word and song for you.
So your world is torn apart and you're left with a broken heart and you feel that there's no real healing inside. Oh no, but this I know it's more than a feeling. Jesus said it in his word, you cannot feel it, just believe it. He'll make everything, he'll make it all right. He will make it all right.
Welcome to another episode of Don't Give Up Radio Show. I am your host, Jackie Wayans, and as usual, it is a great pleasure to do this. It is really a privilege for me and a huge blessing to be able to do this show. I have been able to speak to people from all different walks of life, all different races and stories, but yet the same God in all of it. And to hear how he has been so wonderful to so many people, it really inspires me and it gives me hope. And so I continue to do this because that is the effect that I want each and every one of you who are listening to have. And one of the questions that I posed for tonight is, you know, have you just ever experienced from life this feeling that or circumstances that keep knocking you back, every wave just pushing you closer to shore, even though you're there striving and paddling and trying to go deeper and trying to get more out of life. And it just seems that you just get hit with one thing after another after another. Well, our guest tonight, Tonya Jackson, she has definitely experienced her fair share of life's difficulties, starting from when she was a little child all the way up to her adulthood. But she has still got her face shining towards the sun. She's still looking to God to do great things, and he is doing great things in her life. And so she'll be here with us in a little bit to talk about her life, her experience. And I want you to listen in. I want you to really hear her heart. And, you know, I thought that I had a little inkling of what life's pains are like. And I have, in my own way. All of our stories are different, and we really shouldn't compare our stories to someone else. When I heard her story, I started just, there's so much that we take for granted. Being able to just maneuver through life without pain, without discomfort, is a huge blessing. And so Tonya Jackson has had a lot of physical ailments come her way, but along with that came a number of emotional trials and life circumstances that just seemed to be too much. So I'm excited. I'm excited that you're going to be able to hear what she's gone through and where she is now. We all need a point in our lives where we reach out to others, where we say, take my hand. And the greatest person you can ever ask to take your hand is the Lord, to say, Lord, take my hand, because he will. Because when he takes your hand, he's going to lead you and guide you into all truth. He's going to lead you and guide you with a love. He's going to lead you and guide you with protection. Before we even start tonight, I'm going to kick off with a song, because what she's got to share with us, it's so meaty, I don't want to miss a moment of it. So we're going to start with a song tonight, and I just want that to be the prayer of your heart, so that as you listen, you're also encouraged. So take his hand. He's faithful all the time.
Lord, I stand before you once again.
I'm so glad that I know you understand. I've done everything I know how to do, and as usual I end up crying out to you. I've tried so hard to do my best, but I don't feel like I'll make it through the test. I can't remember feeling so much pain, and my tears keep falling like the pouring rain. I try to force myself to wear a smile, but it's just not there. This pain I'm feeling deep inside my heart seems so unfair. It really feels like I won't make it through another day. So I stand before you with a broken heart, and all I can say is, precious Lord, please.
Save my
hand. You know what I'm talking about, I bet. See, I can't front, Lord, standing here today, 'cause I stumbled here and there along the way. I'm praying even as I sing this song, Lord, for my breakthrough. I hope it won't be too long. I try to force myself to wear a smile, but it's just not there. This pain I feel deep down inside my heart seems so unfair. This time I feel like I will make it through another day. So I come before you with a broken heart, and all I can say, precious love,
save my
hand. Would you do that? Would you please do that for me? Help me to stand, help me to stand, yeah. Deep down I know you will come through. That's why I'm reaching out to you. 'Cause I need to feel your loving arms again. And when I feel your loving touch, that's when I'll be okay. I will be okay. I will make it if you take. Hold me, please.
Yes. Take my hand. Take My Hand by Fred Hammond. You're listening to Don't Give Up Radio. I am your host, Jackie Wayans, and we are talking with Tanya Jackson tonight. And that song just kind of laid it all out, but we're going to hear it from her right now. Tanya, welcome to the show. So glad to have you tonight. Tanya, can you hear me? I'm going to see what's going on there. Sometimes these things happen. But in the meantime, you know, one of the things that I love about Minister Fred Hammond is the fact that his songs really are ministry. It's not just an issue of, just good music, just good, musicianship. There is actually lyrics that are heavily tuned into the scriptures and all about encouraging you while connecting to some very real emotions that can only be experienced. You can only write like that when you've gone through it, when you have gone through a numerous amount of things that you have faced in your life. And I will not be taking anything away from the show by sharing with you the fact that Tanya has had battle after battle with illnesses from the time she was a child all the way up to now. And when we're in our good health, oftentimes we really don't realize what it entails to be unhealthy. Now, a few years back, I had the misfortune of having my back go out. And I got to tell you that it wasn't until I felt that kind of pain and had that type of limitation to realize that I couldn't just walk, I couldn't just get up and do what I wanted to do, that I was actually very dependent. I started to think at that point in time of people who we often pray for in prayer meeting and have a little taste of what they must be experiencing, of what they must go through on a daily basis, on a regular basis. And it made me ever so thankful because I could eventually go to the doctor and get a shot and have the pain taken away. And if I didn't do my exercises and what I'm supposed to do, then it will stay away. However, there are those of us who don't have that luxury. We don't get to just say this is temporary and it's going to go away. And so I have great value for those who have endured in the face of such hardship. Precious Lord, take my hand. Lead me on where I stand. I am weak, but thou art strong. Precious Lord, lead me on. Those are very powerful, powerful words. They've ever been powerful. They will continue to be powerful. And if you're listening tonight and you have not had the opportunity to know the Lord on that level, where you feel that you can say to him, Precious Lord, take my hand. Maybe you think that your circumstance is too hard, too difficult. Maybe you feel that you're unworthy of such a gift or such love. But all those are lies, and you do not have to worry because God is true to his promises. And if he says to you that, well, let me let you hear the verse first. Romans 10 and 9, I often share on this show, if you confess with your mouth and believe in your heart that Jesus Christ is Lord and God has raised him from the dead, that you will be saved. And that is a promise that you do not have to thwart, a promise that you don't have to second guess. He's going to be there for you. And so it's as simple as trusting him. Now, when I was a little girl, there was a gentleman in my neighborhood by the name of Arthur Miller. And no, not the Arthur Miller that you all know, but it was the Arthur Miller to me in the sense that he did a lot of really great things with kids in the neighborhood, and he would throw parties, block parties, and things of that nature. And unfortunately, his life came to a very actually political end, and that was very similar to what we see happening in the news and in society still today, decades later. When I went to his funeral, which was extremely well attended, I was all the way up in the rafters, and I was a little girl. They played this one song called Going Up Yonder. And usually these spirituals at that time, they kind of made me sad, but this one gave me hope. This one made me think like a little red balloon floating into the sky and going someplace where there was love, where there was peace, where there was joy, where there was no more sadness, no more crying, no more dying. It sounds like cliche, but it's not. I will be bringing back my show, Songs for the Midnight Hour, and that show will run from Monday through Friday, 10 to 12 o'clock. And during that time, we'll be visiting scriptures and words of edification, encouragement, and songs that really speak about just this, just the presence and the nature of the Lord. And I'm going to play that song now because it never gets old. And then by the time we get back, we'll be able to get into the story with Tanya. All right? Thank you, guys. My, my, my. That's right. You can't get better than that. The feeling there is just so exciting and so energizing to me. Going Up Yonder, that was Tremaine Hawkins with Walter Hawkins. Classic music, but classic truth at the same time. And it is my hope and my prayer that even as you listen to something like that, you want to know that there will be a day and a time, because none of us know the day or the hour, but you want to make sure that when that time comes, that you know where you're going and that it's going to be a place of peace and love and happiness and joy. So, listen, I've been doing Don't Give Up Radio for 5 years now, and Songs for the Midnight Hour as well during that time. And, you know, very few of my shows are pre-recorded. Most of them are live. And Tanya Jackson and I had a great pre-interview conversation. She has not called into the show yet, so I'm under the belief that some type of emergency must have arisen that has kept her from calling in thus far. But I want to talk to you about her for just a few more minutes, if you don't mind, because it's gripping enough that I can really just share a little bit with you. This is a woman who started in life, even at birth, there was a uniqueness to the way she came into the world. Her mother, at the age of 45, went to the hospital to get tumors removed, and as the doctors are removing the tumors, behind them was this little baby. Her mother was 7.5 months pregnant and was totally unaware of it. She had no idea. And this was in the 70s, early 70s. And so she was, of course, born premature. And initially, it seemed that everything was fine. She was just a happy child growing up in Virginia with her mom, who's very content to let them know that even though they were in the projects, they were not of the projects. And being the youngest of older siblings, much older, at least a 20-year difference between herself and her siblings, you know, Tanya grew up wanting to be like them, you know, wanting to do sports and ROTC and dancing, until they realized that she had scoliosis as well as a default in her hip level. So not only did she have to wear a cast for the scoliosis, but she had to wear a full body cast to adjust to the hip alignment as well. Now, I had the privilege of going to school with my best friend in high school, and when I met her, she was wearing a scoliosis cast. And I can tell you that in high school, kids weren't particularly nice, and thankfully my best friend had a very good sense of herself. But that's difficult. Even when your parent tries to intervene, tries to tell you how wonderful you are and to not think about what people are saying to you, it is very difficult to go to school day in and day out and to hear the teasing and to hear the ridicule. So those are things that came into Tanya's life at a very early age. But now by the time she's sweet 16 and the cast has come off, you know, she meets this guy who's 3 years older than her, and within a year, she finds herself pregnant, and they decide to get married. And yes, 17, she's underage. She gets married. Her mother has to sign permission. The mom wasn't thrilled about doing that, but she wanted to make her daughter happy, and so her new husband and her moved out to California. He joined the military. They didn't live on base, actually. They lived with friends, and it was something where, you know, they were starting a new life. They were just beginning. Things seemed to be going well until she noticed that she would start to drop things and drop things consistently, very unusual. And then she noticed that she would tell herself, okay, it's time to stand up or get up, but then her body wouldn't respond. Her body wasn't moving. And so after time, she went to the doctors and they did an evaluation. And they said to her, well, you're 7.5 months pregnant, which she knew. And then they informed her that she had cervical cancer. So here she is, 17 years old, 7.5 months pregnant, a new wife, and she's given the verdict of having cervical cancer. I can't even imagine the amount of complexity that could be stirring in her mindset as to what is going on with her life. It seems like a lot. Of course, right after she had her son, they started treatment on her, and treatment for this 17-year-old meant a full hysterectomy and chemotherapy. Now, often I've done shows where I've had cancer patients on, many of them married couples, and I plan on doing a show on how this really affects your partner, because while you have someone who loves you, who's dedicated to you, there's something about being ill, there's something about going through that process that changes the dynamic of the relationship. And then for a woman that young to have a full hysterectomy, there are also things that change in terms of your body and your hormones and how you react. So needless to say, the marriage did fall apart after some time. There was health issues on her end. There was, you know, issues that her husband had of his own that he brought to the table. And at some point, there was adultery on his part, and she separated. And once that happened, he actually became a bit spiteful and ended up taking her to court for custody of her son, the one thing he knew that she loved in this life most dearly and most preciously. And interestingly enough, during that trial, the judge decided that neither one of them were fit emotionally at that time to care for their son, and her son ended up living with his aunt for 6 months, and the way the case was being handled was that they would revisit it every 6 months. So 6 months later, she lost her son to the husband because she did not have a permanent place of residence. Even though she was working and she was stable, she did not have a permanent place of residence, which is something you must have. So dad got the son, moved out to Texas. And it was at this point, it was this crucial juncture of her life that she started to realize that she needed God, that there was no way that she could get out of the situation, handle the situation, know how to be wise in this situation without the power of God. And she also realized that she had been simply playing church before that. Before that, she had simply just been going through the motions and talking the talk, but she didn't have a real relationship with the Lord. And that's when she started to pray with real comprehension and read her Bible with understanding. And you know, God is so amazing how he gets our attention. But within 27 days, her husband called her from Texas wanting to know how can they arrange for him to send the son back to her, because he felt that the boy was too withdrawn and he didn't really know how to manage him and that he would be better off with his mother. It was a complete turnaround from everything that he was saying. And he wrote a letter to the court saying what he was going to do. And she had her son back. And, you know, that beginning of her life spiritually just set her on a wonderful course. And years later, she did remarry. And at this point in time in her life, she experiences another major health crisis. And she had these headaches that were beyond migraines. It was as if someone had their hand like a claw over her nose and eyes and skull and was just crushing in. And that was, she calls it 24-8 hour pain. So 24 hours 8 days a week. It felt like 8 days a week to her. Her life completely shut down because of the pain. Her new husband here is now bathing her and feeding her. She's, you know, got the lights off. She's not interacting with anyone. She's isolated. She's being, of course, snippy and snappy and not being able to enjoy her life at all. And when you're in that much pain, I mean, she would go to the ER and they would give her a drug that was stronger than morphine, and it did nothing. It did not change the pain at all. And some people started to believe that the pain was in her head. Maybe she was mental. Maybe it wasn't a real issue. But thankfully, she had a little nursing experience background, and she did some research. And she started to look at what this, and she found this certain type of neuralgia that affects the nerves in the brain that causes a great deal of pain because the nerves themselves are damaged. And she went to a neurologist. She, you know, discussed with them what she thinks it is. They had never heard of it. And they ran the test. Not only did she have this brain disease, but it affected both sides of her brain, which normally it would only affect one. So indeed, there was validation there that she was in excruciating pain. And by the way, she was in this amount of pain for 8 solid months before she went to the doctor. Now, I just want to pause there for a minute. Women, men do it too. We do it for different reasons. Women tend to endure the pain. We tend to know we're in pain, grin and bear it for some reason, and don't go and take the care that we need to take for our bodies. And the fact that she took 8 months and so much misery before she actually got to the point where she was at her bedside kneeling and praying and asking the Lord to take her life because she just couldn't endure that pain any longer. And, you know, some of us get there through emotional situations, through financial situations. This is not at all condemnation because we see it in the Bible, we see it in the scriptures. Elijah had just done great feats and wonders and then, you know, get one threat from Jezebel and he's like, you know, Lord, I'm done. You know, take me out. I'm finished. And you see that theme in David and in some of the Psalms. And I've been there. That moment where you're just like, I cannot do this anymore, Lord. Just take me out of here. And that is that don't give up moment. That is your crossroads. That's the moment in time when you have the opportunity to say, am I going to trust and believe in every word that proceeds out of the mouth of God, or am I just going to believe that it's not going to happen for me? I'm going to close my eyes and just check out of this world. Believe it or not, as hard as that is to do, it is still easier than living and enduring and watching to see what God is going to do. And she did that. She went to the doctor. They did the MRI. They gave her one pill. She was without pain for 8 hours straight for the first time in 8 months. She could sleep, finally, and her life came back to her, and she was able to enjoy her husband, enjoy her son, enjoy her family, once again start to do the things that she loved, until she found that the medication was no longer working, that the disease had advanced far enough that it was no longer something that medicine could tame, that she had to have a craniotomy and she had to have some decompression work done in order to solve this problem once and for all. Of course, many of you know that brain surgery is no joke. That's a big step to take. But when you're in such excruciating pain, you really don't have a choice. And when you have a God who's promised to be faithful to you, then you do, like that first song, Lord, take my hand. And you put your hand in his hand and you trust him. And so she did that. I'm not saying she wasn't nervous, but she did. And when she woke up out of surgery, she was in ICU. And I tell you, the doctors and the nurses were astounded because within a few hours, she wanted to get up and start walking around. She was getting on the phone and calling family and friends and letting them know how wonderful she felt. And so she is a survivor in my book, not only because she no longer has this disease crippling her life, but because she has chosen to live her life. She decided in that moment by her bedside when she was asking the Lord to just take her life, take it away. She decided, no, that is not the answer. That's not the way to go. I'm going to trust God to take care of me. And I just want to talk to you now because I have had many moments in my life from childhood to young adulthood to even after I had my three kids and was married and already a Christian that I felt that things were just too hard. And I planned my exit, and I was very serious about it. And the Lord found a way to communicate with me and say, no, this is not the way that you should go. I need you to trust me. I need you to hold on, and I promise you it'll be worthwhile. And at that time, when you're in that, when there's so much mess all around you, the only thing you can do is believe him, because there's no way you can see past your current pain. And like I said, pain is not just physical. It's emotional, it's financial, it's mental. There's many levels that pain hits you. And I get this from a Fred Hammond song. It says, you know, pain doesn't care where you live or who you are. It will touch your life. And when it does, are you just going to lay down and let it win? Are you just going to give up and throw in the towel? Or are you going to take God's hand and you're going to say, lead me on. You've got this, and I'm going to trust you in it. So, you know, Tanya Jackson's story, you know, I can't tell it as wonderfully as she told it, but I felt that it was a story that was worthy of being told. I ask you guys to pray for her now that she's all right and all is well with her family, because she was really looking forward to this. And she is currently coming out with a book called Home. It's a book of poetry, and it's going to be available on pre-order, and that type of information you can find from my Facebook page. So if you have not already connected with me on Facebook, you definitely want to do that. It is / Don't Give Up Radio, and there's no apostrophe, just the letters, Don't Give Up Radio. Make sure that radio is on there, because there's a whole lot of Don't Give Up on Facebook, but Don't Give Up Radio is me, okay? And then I'm on Twitter at Jackie Wayans, that's JACQUIEWAYANS, just like the Wayans brothers. And I'd love to hear from you. This is a great story. She's got a great book. She's back in life. She's doing production. She's got videos that she's shooting. She's writing a play. So her life has really taken off, and she's, for the first time in years, pain-free. She's got some muscular dystrophy that she's dealing with, but that to her, that's like cheesecake compared to what she has been dealing with before. So I encourage you to find author Tanya Jackson on Facebook as well, and you know, connect with her so that maybe you can hear this story directly from her. Great, lovely lady. And next week, we're going to have another great, lovely lady for you who's also, her name is Joyce J. Ritchie. And she has a wonderful book called Journey to My Heart with Jesus. And she's going to share with us the many things that she has overcome. And sometimes we see people, you know, they're a doctor, they've got a lovely home, they live in a nice neighborhood, and we think all is well with them because the picture looks perfect. But I guarantee you, if you tune in next week, Friday, you are going to get a show that's going to touch your heart, going to be extremely honest. But you know what? In all of these things, the goal is for you to be able to bounce back from where you are in life today. You know, we all need that bounce back moment, because if we don't bounce back, we just lay there. And like I said, there's nothing to gain from that. You know, there's so much that other people around us, our children, our family, our friends, our coworkers, strangers, neighbors, are looking at you, and they're trying to find an answer. They're trying to believe and to know that what we say we believe is true. And so we have to have that bounce back in us. So until next week, I continue to ask you to be your own best hero and not let yourself down, because the greatest hero of all said that you were worth it when he gave his life for you on Calvary at the cross. So go ahead, bounce back this week. You can do it.
Thank you.